Spoon-Fed on Wall Street.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The place settings are all prepared. Investors have their silverware in hand, and they're waiting for the Federal Reserve to serve up today's special, another bump in short-term interest rates. The Fed has dished out 15 quarter-point hikes in a row. This would make 16. But investors are not saying, "Please, sir, can we have some more?" Speaking of dinner, the new Fed chairman might want to keep mom's advice in mind. Don't talk when your mouth is full. Here's Cheryl Glazer.
When you're head of the Federal Reserve, people listen closely to everything you say, perhaps too closely. Fed Chief Ben Bernanke learned that the hard way at a journalist's dinner last month. He reportedly told CNBC that the markets had misinterpreted his comments, and he hinted the Fed may not be done raising interest rates. That triggered a stock sell-off. Some analysts accused Bernanke of hurting his credibility.
This has happened with every new Fed chairman, with every new Fed governor, with every new Treasury secretary.
Former Fed economist David Weiss says Bernanke may be trying too hard to communicate, and investors may be trying too hard to figure out the Fed's next move.
The Fed can't tell you now what they're going to do over the next 6 months. What they do in June, what they do in August, is going to depend on what else happens between now and then.
One thing Bernanke probably does know now, he needs to be more careful about what he says at dinner parties. I'm Cheryl Glazer for Marketplace.
In Washington today, the House votes on a bill that would extend $70 billion in tax cuts. The Senate finalized its version yesterday, but Democrats condemned it, what with the government facing massive budget deficits and all. The details now from Tess Viglin.
The centerpiece of the bill is a two-year extension of tax cuts originally passed in 2003. They set the tax rate on capital gains and stock dividends at 15%. The bill also delays for 1 year the expansion of the alternative minimum tax to some 15 million families. Joel Friedman of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities is among many critics who charge that the package is skewed to high-income taxpayers.
American in the middle of the income spectrum will get an average tax cut of just $20. And if you compare that with someone who has an income of more than $1 million, those folks are looking at average tax cuts of $42,000.
He also notes that several other tax cuts that already expired are not in this bill, including items like a school tuition tax deduction and help for teachers who buy their own classroom supplies. Those are in a second tax bill that's expected to cost at least as much as this one. I'm Tess Viglund for Marketplace.
We began with a little reference from Oliver Twist. How about some more Dickens? The Tale of Two Automakers, Toyota and GM. Today, Toyota said profits jumped 39% for the first 3 months of the year. That makes six straight quarters of booming sales for the world's second largest car maker. Toyota keeps closing in on number one, General Motors. GM did report a small profit in the first quarter, but it has other things to worry about. The company's CEO says it's stockpiling auto parts in case there's a strike at Delphi, GM's main parts supplier. The Dow is now within 100 points of its highest mark ever. Yesterday, it climbed 55 to 11,639, but tech stocks didn't do so well. The Nasdaq dropped 6 to 2338. The S&P 500 was up half a point. Gold is now trading above $700 an ounce. This is Marketplace. With gas prices heading for the moon, the Bush administration is scouring the earth for ways to make them lower. Next stop, South America. Kurt Nickus reports.
One reason gas prices are high is sharp demand for a fuel additive called ethanol. American companies make it from corn. Brazil makes it more cheaply from sugarcane. President Bush wants to get rid of a 51-cent per gallon import tariff on Brazilian ethanol, but U.S. producers say that would be hard to swallow.
Why would we go from a situation where we rely upon foreign oil to where we rely upon foreign ethanol?
Brian Jennings of the American Coalition for Ethanol says U.S. producers will meet demand. The brewing battle over Brazilian ethanol pits free trade Republicans who see high gas prices as a political liability against farmstaters who want to protect jobs at home. I'm Kurt Nickus for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the American Public Transportation Association, committed to making America energy independent through increased use of public transportation. On the web at publictransportation.org. And by Gather.com, a website for the public radio audience to read and respond to the news of the day. You can share your perspective online at gather.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. If you're like me, you don't really care how you get your internet. As long as it's there when you need it, everything's cool. But this might make us care. The House is debating a bill that could determine the future of the internet and how much it costs. Let's hear what commentator Robert Reich has to say about it.
On one side are the companies that pipe the internet into our homes and businesses. Phone companies like AT&T and Verizon. Cable companies like ComSat. Let's call them the pipe companies. On the other side are the people and companies that send internet content through the pipes. Some are big outfits like Yahoo, Google, and Amazon, or Bank of America and Citigroup, and media companies pumping in movies and TV shows. But most are little guys, mom-and-pop operations specializing in antique egg beaters or Brooklyn Dodger memorabilia, anarchists, kooks, zealots, personal publishers, and gazillions of bloggers, including my humble little blog and maybe even yours. Until now, a basic principle of the internet has been that the pipe companies cannot discriminate among content providers. Everyone who puts stuff on the internet, no matter how big or powerful they are, is treated the same. It's called internet democracy. But now the pipe companies want to charge the content providers, depending on how fast and reliably the content will be delivered. That means the big content providers will pay them lots of money, and the little content people will be left in the slowest and least reliable pipes. Without net neutrality, it will take you 5 minutes to download my blog. The pipe companies claim that unless they start charging, they won't be able to invest in the next generation of networks. Well, that's ridiculous. They're already making lots of money off consumers connected to the internet. They just figure they can make more money charging the big content providers for the best service. The bill to be voted on would, in effect, give the pipe companies the green light to go ahead with their plans. But it won't happen if the big content providers use their lobbying clout to demand net neutrality. The financial services sector, for example, is already spending billions on information technology, including online banking. Why would they want to spend billions more paying the pipe companies for the internet access they already have? Only if they accept the dubious argument made recently by Verizon's chief Washington lobbyist that if the financial services industry supports net neutrality, it won't get the sophisticated data links it will need in the future. And only if big finance and other big content providers figure they can shift the extra costs onto their consumers anyway. So what will happen? Stay tuned for the next episode of Internet Democracy versus Monopoly Capitalism.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
When you own a restaurant, there is always...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.